morning and welcome everyone to Five Dharma Sunday for December 15th, 2013. Koyo Kubose here. Very glad you joined us on this cold winter day. Yep. I go get the newspaper every morning. Gravel driveway is about 300 feet long. So it's a nice little walk to the head of the driveway where they throw the newspaper. And I take the dogs. The dogs, Easy, the yellow lab, the Waku, which means Easy in Japanese, the golden retriever. Till I get my jacket on, and they go to the front door and you sit down. I open the front door, wait until I bring the signal with my hand, make the gesture. Boom, they run out at the door and greet the morning and check out all the bulletin boards around to see who's been around here, property. That's their big job. As I walk, of course, it's the first thing you experience when you walk outside is, what is the weather for today? Every day is a good day. Now, I couldn't help thinking this morning, and what I wanted to mention was, Morita therapy, one tenant, one of the books I read about it a long time ago, it was about how made the analogy of our emotions as the weather. So let's say one day it's a sunny day, but this would correspond to when you're feeling pretty great. How about on a rainy day, well, that's when you're feeling kind of down. And it says, Morita therapy suggests that most people, they treat their emotions as the boss. Emotions rule the day. Make your day. Or if you're angry, man, why do we allow these emotions to control our whole day? We really don't allow the weather to dominate our life that way. Now you might say, well, the weather is important and we have to pay attention to the weather and you can't ignore the weather. No. Morita therapy doesn't say that. It suggests, here's the kind of attitude that when you look at it, that we have about weather. Everybody talks about the weather. You can't do much about the weather itself. But you do have to deal with the weather. We all do. If it's raining, you put a hat on, bring an umbrella. If it's cold, you put a jacket on. Okay? And then we go about our day. We take care of business. And he said, this is a very healthy way to treat our emotions too. Emotions are important. They affect our day, but we don't allow them to be the boss. So, get up in the morning and you're feeling sleepy. Oh, I'm tired. You don't say, hey, I'm going to stay home and got a lot of work to do, but no, I don't feel. Now, of course, if it's extreme emotions, just like extreme weather, it will dominate the day. Hurricanes and earthquakes, of course. Tragedies in life. We're talking about just everyday kind of things. Get up. It's raining. Nah, I'm going to stay home from work. No. So if you're a little bit upset, you don't say, man, I'm going to let this color my whole day. No, you say, well, I'm sleepy, or I'm going to have a little cup of coffee. I'm going to deal with how I feel. You know, got to get going. Take care of business. If you are a little stressed out, so this then, you can, that justifies taking it out on the dog, on your spouse, on anybody you meet. Why do you give those emotions power over your day? Well, you feel that stress? Maybe I'll just take a few breaths here. You deal with it. You become aware of it. You say, You might even say, well, you accept it and you transcend it. A/T. Accept/transcend. The acceptance is the transcendence. That acceptance is not a defeated resignation type of a emotion, but it's very calm. You accept it. And that A could stand for action. You do something about it. Well, this is the way it is. Well, okay. This is the way the day is. Put a raincoat on. Whatever. This has happened and I feel this way. Okay. I can do something about it and I can go about my business today. Or, like someone said, well, my grandma said, you got to be firm with the weather. And the joke was, you know, if it looks a little cloudy, no, I'm not going to take an umbrella. You got to be firm with the weather. Let the weather know who's the boss. Well, I suggest you let your emotions know who's the boss. Don't let your emotions dictate and justify and push you around. Hey, this is a revolutionary, radical idea. I'm glad I talked about it. Well. Okay. I want to... We don't have a real Dharma glimpse today. We couldn't set it up because the... who does the scheduling for Dharma glimpses, was very busy with preparations. Her mom had passed away on December 4th, and we had a memorial service for her yesterday. And her two sisters, she has two older sisters. One is lives in Palo Alto, about 3 hours north of us. One's in New York. But they came in and stayed at our place in Coruscant for the past week, where they were making preparations and all the arrangements. And I'd just like to mention a little bit about what's been going on in our household. We had a memorial service in Oakland, California, 3 hours north in the Bay Area. Funeral chapel there. We prepared a memorial service program. And of course, we had to contact a lot of people, make arrangements. service was held yesterday. Yeah, I was really thinking about the two emotions that are important ones. By important, I mean, you see, some emotions, well, this is, of course, a value judgment, but it's an important one. Some emotions, like minor irritations or this and that, are not as important as deeper emotions, let's say. Yeah, but deeper, not necessarily deeper, but if you feel something, it's important. That's important. And when you feel something deep inside and you cry genuine tears, or when you feel something, a joy, and you share it and you laugh together, those tears and laughter are really what makes life rich. And I remember, hang on, this is nothing new in terms of a saying, noting this, but Jim Valvano, hey, this is just my own personal individual association, but Jim Valvano was a basketball coach for North Carolina State, and he got cancer and passed away maybe some 20 years ago, but at the time, he was a young man, very popular coach, so it kind of galvanized the sporting world in college sports. They created a Jim Valvano Memorial Research Fund, and they had all kinds of fund drives to do research. Understand causes of cancer. And I heard Jim Valvano, when he was during this time, he made a lot of motivational, inspirational speeches. And he said, make sure every day that you cry and you laugh. Well, you know, coming from a person who has terminal cancer, and better appreciate every day. This is doctrine of impermanence and constant change. You're not going to be able to keep your youth, your health, your physical life. Life is not a dress rehearsal. This is a real thing. You better not live like you think you're going to live forever. This is not a downer. This is accept, transcend. And as I said, when you accept it, and it's not easy, not going to live forever, but we got now. Hey, how can I really live today? Don't treat your interactions when you meet people you see every day. Don't take it for granted. Co-workers, family members. Make every encounter a genuine, authentic one. When you feel something, feel it sincerely. That's what we mean by tears. And be quick to laugh together. Genuine, real laugh. These were some of my thoughts, and I experienced these things during the past week. Of course, when we were taking care of Mom Kimura, Adrian's mother, the last few years in our home here, and she passed away at home. When when she was physically died, still lying in the bedroom, we had a service. Well, being a minister, I'm privileged to be able to do services for my own family. And it's a very warm, comfortable kind of a privilege to have. So we had a service right at the bedside. And in fact, we Skyped it out to the immediate family. And her presence with you, the spirit of her presence just dominated the whole house. Even though she's died. And I think that's sort of like when these significant life changes happen, a new baby in the house, that baby's presence is dependent, is, you know, fills the whole house. And in the same way of death, it fills the whole house. You just feel it. That's the tears part. Oh, you know. Affects everyone. It makes you see the whole world with a very intimate perception. Somehow the irony of death means everything comes alive for those who are still around. That's what it does automatically. You look into each other's eyes. Touch their shoulder, you give a hug. Everything you do is infused. And it's almost like you can experience the eternal now in this concrete present moment. The laughter part, this is not the social aspect of people offering condolences and so forth. That's a necessary, important thing. But everybody knows that within the family, privately, even at times like this, there's a lot of laughter going on. And because of the nature of the situation, the laughter is precious and deep. And it's not appropriate to be like that in public social situation. If the family, then it gives the impression the family is laughing when at a time they should not be laughing. But this is a different kind of laughing, you know. And the family is so secure among themselves that it's never misinterpreted. But you see the bantering and the kidding and goes around. Okay, it's the tears and laughter together. Sound like they're two different incompatible, contradictory emotions, but they're really not. We do cry when we're happy, and we can laugh when we're sad. Or, as someone once said, hey, there's only two things you got to remember in life. First, always be sincere. And don't forget that. I think that sincerity means the equivalent of deep feelings and tears. Well, I'd like to close with a meditation that I wrote some years ago, and I read this at the memorial service yesterday. I can give you a little background on how this meditation came to be written. There are several nice readings from the Buddhist tradition that could be used on occasions like memorial services and so forth. Sometimes I read the selected passages from the Dhammapada, which is one of the ancient Buddhist texts. Sometimes I read translation of reading of or teaching of the White Ashes. It's a very powerful reading written by Daniel, who was a 16th century Buddhist priest. But at one time, being a minister and so forth, I wanted something more personal that I could offer families at the time of their loss. Something not only personal, but even more modern in a sense. Not that the traditional ones lack power and so forth. But this is what I felt. So I had been thinking about that for a while and not knowing. Well, and then one day, Adrian had been called for, this was in Chicago, to jury duty in the courthouse is downtown Chicago, right across from Daly Center Plaza. There's a whole block is filled with the city officers and the county officers and also the state administrative offices. And right across the street from that was the Methodist Church, the First Methodist Church. It's in downtown Chicago, so it's a hustling, bustling place, a lot of people, sidewalk traffic. And this is the church that we always had on the Wednesday before Thanksgiving every year, an interfaith Thanksgiving observance over the lunch hour. One of the national interfaith organizations, the branch that was in Chicago, that had Reverend Stan Davis Jr. was executive director. He and I became good friends, and we did a lot of interfaith work together. They organized really up-to-date, enlightened leadership in Chicago. You know, interfaith used to mean Protestants, Catholics, and Jews. But through their work, it was expanded to include everyone, Baha'i, all the way down to Zoroastrian, Sikhs, Muslims, Native American, Buddhist, Hindus. And as I said, we always met over the lunch hour, did an interfaith thing at this church. So I knew of this church. I was familiar with it. And it's always open. Okay. People could just stop in and go into the chapel. And jury duty, when I took Adrian there, you can't go in if you're not, there's no company. You can't accompany anybody in there. So as he was in there, I went over to this church across the street. Went into the chapel, sat in the back pew, and got out a notepad and dedicated this 2 hours to writing my thoughts. Title is A Meditation Upon the Loss of a Loved One. Though our loved one is no longer with us in body, he is with us in spirit always. Into the spiritual world of oneness, she has followed her loved ones. And into that oneness, loved ones will join her in the future. No one is ever alone. Like currents in time, lives flow together and cannot be separated from one another. You cannot see one life without seeing the influence of many other lives. This is the oneness of life. It underlies all individual lives. To lose a loved one is the saddest thing in life. We ask not to be removed from our sorrow, but to have the courage to accept it. Our response to sorrow is to cultivate wisdom. And may the seeds of wisdom, watered by our tears, blossom into compassion. Only the eye of understanding can see into the heart of caring. Thus, we go beyond our individual sorrow and find comfort amidst our tears. So, I was able to share this. Sometimes I use this, you know, change the pronoun for the occasion, and read it on these memorial service times. So, Adrian and I really appreciate all the expressions of sympathy that we have received, the family has received. It really shows the interdependency of life. That's all for today's broadcast. Till next time, you keep going, and you have a very, very beautiful Sunday. Thank you.